Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting inching, just inching closer to Christmas. Santa coming down the chimney. We got a couple of crab cake tours still ahead this week. We're going to be at Costas with a very special show on Thursday. I have managed to corral the great Calvin Statham that had me out singing carols and Christmas songs and all sorts of things last week in Edgemere. We'll be at Costas and Dundalk on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Well, we'll have the new Candy Cane Scratch-Offs. I have a handful of these Ravens left. I had some winners at Honey's in Halethorpe over the weekend. Had a great chat over there. Man, they filled my belly last week, man. If it wasn't Fadley's and it was Honey's, we're going to be at Gertrude's on Friday this week with John Shields and Dan Rogers. And then next Monday, wrapping things up with Planet Fitness as I try to slim down and tone up for 2026. Luke, they promised to give me the big purple hats that say 2026 and the goggles and all the stuff that they break out at Planet Fitness for New Year's. Tell you what, the victory over Cincinnati on such a cold day, it checks a lot of boxes for me. I'm very concerned about injuries in the aftermath and, all that's going to go into that. And just where they are, if they win enough, they'll get a chance to go to Pittsburgh and they'll get a chance to play for their honor and get a chance to maybe host Buffalo before all this is over with. Maybe New England if they beat them up enough this week. But I would just say the fact that they've leveled the season out, that they made your prediction look bad over the weekend when, people to write them off and like all of that. And then New England loses, Green Bay struggling, they're on the schedule. Like, and here we go. Micah Parsons, my God, Mahomes and Kansas City out. So just so much thing, so much moves on a weekend where you pitch a shutout. Lamar wins when it's 5 degrees out. Lamar looks better. The running game looked better. Cincinnati, I don't know. What do you got for me on that?
I think the word that comes to mind for me is heartening. I think this win got their arrow pointed back in the right direction after what happened the last couple of weeks. I think it was more than fair to ask to have doubts about whether this team was going to get off the mat after what happened these last 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I mean, you're talking about a sub 500 team the second week of December. That's more than fair to ask that question. So I thought it was very critical. Not just for the Ravens, but also for Cincinnati. I mean, we're so focused on what happened with the Ravens the last couple of weeks and losing on Thanksgiving night and falling to Pittsburgh last Sunday. But keep in mind, the Bengals mathematically were already behind the eight ball to an extreme degree. And then they lost a very winnable game in Buffalo, with the pick six and, some critical mistakes. And, they competed with the Bills, but they didn't get the job done. So for me, especially when you add the extreme cold into the equation that we alluded to, but what kickoff was 10 degrees. I think it was very, or at least I imagine it being very pivotal how these teams were going to start in this football game and how that would impact them. And I think what was kind of disconcerting for the Ravens early on is, they punt on their opening drive to get one first down. It kind of falls apart, right? I mean, Miles Murphy blows up the last two plays of that drive and they punt. And then Cincinnati's going down the field, kind of methodical. They're not gashing them in the run game, but they're doing enough and they're moving and they're just outside the red zone. I think that Ja'Marr Chase drop on second and four on that drive, which obviously the Ravens get the sack two plays later, knock them out of field goal range. I think that play was really big. I think from that point on, I mentioned the arrow, right? That at the end of the day, the arrow was pointing upward for the Ravens again. But very early in that game, Cincinnati kind of came out looking like the team that was more physical and more prepared for the cold. And I felt like it flipped on that drive there. And not that the Ravens just steamrolled them from there because it took a while for the offense to get going. But I really felt from that point on, the momentum, the arrows started pointing in the Ravens' direction. And then obviously the offense comes to life at the end of the first half. And the defense just, I mean, they did what they did, especially on third down. It was a very odd game. I mean, the Ravens ran 40 plays, right? It was two to
It
one.
felt easy. It felt down and it felt old school. Like,
Strange, though.
I mean, anytime Snoop's getting snaps at the end, right? Like, it was a beat down of a team that came in here and took their turkey 2 weeks ago, dude.
Sure. And look, I mean, It's as close. I mean, John Harbaugh said it after the game, and it's tough to disagree with him that he thought it was their best game of the season. It was their most complimentary, their most balanced. It's the I think the best they've looked overall since the first 3.5 quarters of week one in Buffalo.
Heartening was your word, right? I
Yeah.
mean, and we'll keep. I'll use that one
Yeah.
all week, especially
Yeah.
because we're going to honor Ed Lauer, who got a fresh heart on Thursday at Costas. So heartening's
There you go.
a great word. I'll send that over to him.
Yeah. So I also don't want to get up, I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves. They beat a 4-10 football
Yeah,
team, right?
right.
The bar is
Exactly.
really
They
low.
might have gotten him fired, the
Yeah,
coach, right?
I mean the bar is really low and has been, but when you're 6-7 and you have one win all season against a team with a winning record,
Hey,
but
Pittsburgh goes doo doo and poo poo here the next couple of weeks, and the Ravens push them out.
sure.
You have, I mean, Cleveland, you don't have to worry about, right? Like, other than Myles Garrett going to the Hall of Fame, not much to recommend there. I mean, there could be a complete overhaul in three quarters of the division if the Ravens can dust off, beat the Patriots this week, hold their own against the Packers, and beat the Steelers. That's all they really need to do, right?
Well, I mean, it just keep winning, right? I mean, we knew after, even in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh loss, that if they won out, they're in, right? So you just keep winning. Now, I think that's easier said than done when you're talking about the fact that New England is coming in and they're fresh off their first loss in a really long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound from that, but certainly a step up in competition. I mean, look, I love how the defense played. And part of that, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying in terms of how cold it was and questioning whether they were going to get off the mat. They were tough. They played with an edge. I mean, you saw Draymond Jones chirping, you saw other guys chirping. And that's something that, I not that you're like going out of your way to see something like that, but let's face it, the Ravens did not exactly play like a very tough football team the last couple of weeks. I mean, that was part of it, right? I mean, not just that they lost, but just the way that it looked. And so to see that and to acknowledge, because guys like me have pointed out that for all the defensive improvement that they had made since the first five games of the season, they hadn't exactly done it against a host of great quarterbacks. They made Joe Burrow look terrible on Sunday. There's no question about that. So I
His
think
guys
they.
dropping the ball made him look terrible too. You're
Oh, sure, no question.
well played with that,
No
right?
quite. I mean, I said it. I talked about the chase drop on their first drive that I thought was pivotal. I'm not sure I've ever seen a worse 10 catch, 132 yard game than Ja'Marr Chase had on Sunday. I thought he was terrible in that football game, but he got his chunk plays because he's Ja'Marr Chase, right? So, but
I would say he
just
was low impact. They didn't score.
I thought he was bad. I mean, like, look, I mean that drop killed their first drive, and then he had a pass, albeit it was high, went off his hands and it's picked
Well,
off,
your
right? I mean,
leader's got to lead at this time of the year when you're,
need
I
your
mean,
big
and they're
players to,
4-9
yeah.
and they're playing to stay in too, right?
Right. Well,
Right?
and that's what I said. And after their opening drive, their offense went in a different direction and the Ravens were ascending from that point on. So,
Look like to me like they got cold.
yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, to me, the start was, it kind of looks like Cincy looking better very early, and then that it flipped on that catch, and I don't think they or on that drop, and I don't think they ever really got going again. But again, you credit the Ravens for doing what they did. It was complimentary. The defense was outstanding. I mean, the pass rush against the Bengals offensive line, as maligned as they've been for years now, if you look at them, and I even linked to a stat that Pro Football Focus had put out there as far as their pass protection being much better the last month or so of the season. But the Ravens, wasn't like they had six or seven sacks, anything like that, but they hit Burrow. I mean, Draymond Jones had quite a few quarterback hits. I mean, Travis Jones had a sack. Mike Green had a sack at the end of the first half. I mean, they Tavius Robinson, albeit unblocked, he makes an impact in his return, his first game since week six. So that was good to see. Again, I get it. 4-10. Bengals are a bad football team, but you lost to that bad football team a couple weeks ago. So it was nice to see them again come out, kind of weather the early, kind of sluggish start offensively. The fact that Cincinnati moved the ball on that opening drive, they bow up and they get a stop there. They knock them out of field goal range. And from that point on, the defense played really, really good football. Yeah, Cincinnati missed some opportunities, of course, but at the same time,
It's hard to catch the
the
ball when
shutout.
it's that cold.
Yeah, all no doubt.
Yeah, I
No,
mean, you know,
and
very much so. Like I saw that in Chicago. I saw that in a lot of
sure.
places where the ball's like a rock and it just doesn't grip. And it clearly Burrow threw a couple of passes like, you know, Sonny Jurgensen or Billy Kilmer threw them, right? I mean, they look like
Yeah.
ducks.
Well, and Lamar, I thought we haven't talked too much about Lamar, but he only threw it 12 times,
Dude,
but
that pass to Flowers in the
I mean,
corner
that
of
was
the end zone
gorgeous.
was like, that was when Lamar 22, 23, 24, when things are going right, that's what it looks
And that
like.
was a
And that's
dime.
heartening to see on a 5-degree day up
Sure.
in the air that they might have a punch in them. And listen, man, the whole way when they were 1-5, we would have said, you better hope they're not the team that's playing in January. And at that point, we thought as a wild card on the road, here, there, wherever, they'd be playing at home if they can figure this out. They don't need to win 12 games. They just need to win a couple of games. And then they get a game, then they're in the tournament. I don't know. But these injuries are stacking too, right? And just the Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, the sort of the older guys that are a little bit more. Just feels like every week somebody's holding something, and something's going wrong, and Buchanan, just all the way around, right? They didn't get out of this thing as healthy as you'd like them to be, but Lamar's everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, Lamar looks better. I mean, Ronnie Stanley's fine. He was standing on the sideline when they were on that last drive. He looked fine. I mean, now he's 100%, or was he 100% before Sunday's game, right? Marlon Humphrey went back in the game. I mean, Teddy Buchanan is disappointing. There's no question about that because, well, we saw Trenton Simpson last year. You know, he's kind of been in a more specialized role this year, more so lining up as an edge, more so lining up, you know, when he lines up both. Weak side, he's kind of blitzing, you know. So they're going to need him to step up. They'll probably deploy Kyle Hamilton with some off-ball linebacker duties at times that maybe he had Buchanan was taken care of before. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, I can't sit here and cry the blues about that when Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL, Micah Parsons season ending, you know, all signs with there, you know, and what that means for Green Bay's defense. I mean, not just when the Ravens go there in a couple of weeks, but what that means for the Packers, you know, going forward in the NFC. So from that standpoint, I mean, look, the Ravens had their injuries early in the season, and yes, they lost Nnamdi Matabike, and yes, they miss him, but
We were talking
I,
about a Darius Washington come back, right?
yeah, they got him. I mean, Ravens are pretty darn healthy right now, Nestor. I mean, like I hear your general point. Like, yeah, they had some guys get shaken up, and you know, we'll see about Awuzie. But generally speaking, I mean, they're mostly intact. I mean, Matabike is the huge one, and obviously Lamar was playing less than 100%. It feels like he's closer to being healthy. I mean, we're seeing him move. I mean, how about the fact that when they finally get their first touchdown, I mean, it started with a Lamar Jackson scramble on first down, right? Got what, 13, 14 yards there. So I don't know if we're going to see Lamar running 16 times in a playoff game next month if they get there, but you need that to at least be a viable possibility. Like, he needs to be able to flash that he might do that, even if he's only going to do it 5 times a game, right? If he can at least do it when he does it, and it's like that, it's effective and he's looks fast and
Can
he's
he
running
do it
away
in the
from
fourth
somebody.
quarter of a game when you're down 4 points in the middle of the field, you know, like with
Well,
3.5 minutes left to go? You know what I mean?
but I
Can
would.
he do it then? If he can do it then it's special. Then it matters. The fact that he couldn't do it a month ago is very obvious that he couldn't do it then.
Sure. And even against Pittsburgh last week, I mean, you're seeing, you know, when you get deeper into the game, it looks like he's more willing to air it out a little
Dude, if
bit,
they
so
get
to
that
speak.
RPO going in January against teams that aren't ready for it on a cold night, and you get Derek one way running you over, or Lamar the other way, you know, running around you or throwing it over your
I mean, they
head
got to get,
reliably to Mark Andrews or Zay Flowers. Bateman, there's another, you know, another name for you. And there's always a thing with Hopkins, while we don't know why he's not more involved, where it's like, I still think he's really good, you know, like that's my feeling about him, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, if he was really that good, he'd be getting 8, 10 targets a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough because, I mean, even look at his usage in Kansas City last year, and I mean, he was on a team that played in the Super Bowl, right? And you kind of looked at how the year went on,
his role decreased. I think for him, it's more so in the way that you know, like that you treat a lot of veteran players, where you're trying to, whatever his pitch count is, right? You're trying to, whether that's 20 plays, 25 plays, three routes, four routes, you know, compared to like trying to think that he's going to be the guy that he was in Houston or in Arizona, where, you know, you're trying to maximize whatever he can give you. Kind of like the way you think about like a situational pass rusher, right? I think that's kind of been the mindset for him. And look, I mean, he caught a slant on an RPO, which, you know, the Ravens haven't run a ton of RPOs this year, but they did there and it worked. So that was good to see. So,
It feels so Greg Roman, doesn't it?
yeah, I mean, well, let's face it. I mean,
It's been pulled
what,
out of the package for the most
yeah,
part,
it
right?
has. But like this passing game in general, I mean, like, what is it? You know what I mean? It's Zay Flowers, basically. I mean, I give Lamar credit. I mean, it was a great check on the blitz that he throws it out to Ali in the flat, and Cincinnati had no one there, and it's a touchdown. But we know that there hasn't been a whole lot of structure to this pass game this year. I mean, you know, the idea of bringing in DeAndre Hopkins when they did, you know, the first 2 days of free agency was not for him to be a guy that's going to catch 60 passes. The idea was a very specialized role. I mean, it was supposed to be an upgrade over Nelson Aguilar at the time, but you know,
Well, you
they're
shouldn't be able to get Bates and Flowers off the field, and Andrews you just gave $13 million a year to. You know, they should be on the field, right? Like
I
literally,
mean,
they
they should be, but like it just hasn't been a very functional passing game, you know, in the conventional way that you think about it for most of the season. I mean, it just hasn't been. I mean, Zay Flowers gets his, and then everything else is kind of like, well, you kind of see what happens, right? I mean, Andrews will catch a touchdown here and there, but not a whole lot in terms of volume. I mean, you know, we saw Isaiah Likely come alive the last two games, albeit with his issues getting to, you know, close to the end zone or in the end zone. But, you know, he didn't even, I don't think he was even targeted on Sunday. So,
It feels like there's plenty of Keaton Mitchell and Ali the last
well,
couple of weeks, you know, and that speaks to the ground game and things they're trying to do in the running
sure.
back, you know, using that position to not go down the field so much. And look, they've matriculated the ball, they've moved the ball. I mean, even in the two losses, we go back to Likely catching a ball, pushing a ball, Zay Flowers pushing off, you know, referees screwing them. Like all of, by the way, the referees didn't screw them this week. But through it all, they've moved the ball. You know, it hasn't been 99 Rams, or it hasn't even been 22 or 23 Ravens, but you know, they've moved the ball okay. And I think there's no reason for me to think the next couple of weeks that this isn't getting better, and that I could, and you know, I don't bet on this stuff, that I will expect, I will hold my calendar open on the weekend of January 10th, 11th, and 12th in the thoughts that there could be a game here that weekend.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, they won on Sunday. They needed to win on Sunday for that to really feel remotely realistic, right? Because if you can't beat the Bengals, who are the last bad team left on your schedule, I mean, you know, it kind of goes back to like, okay, so when's it going to happen, right? So again, not sitting here saying that everything is perfectly fine, but they won a football game they needed to win, and they did it with their most complete effort of the season, or certainly one of their most complete efforts of the season. And that feels good. It absolutely does. Because even during the 5-game winning streak, I mean, there was the Cleveland game, the Jets game, where, you know, you're winning, but you're not really inspired by how they're playing. So this had some inspiration to it. Like I said, it was heartening. I think it was encouraging. I'm not ready to sit here and say Super Bowl plans are back on after one win over the Bengals, but hey, you're going to have your opportunity on Sunday night. New England Patriots come into town and you beat them up in front of a national stage, and it looks not that you're going to shut them out 24 nothing, let's be clear, but it looks complimentary and emphatic, and it looks high level like it did on Sunday. Then yeah, then I will start to believe again, right?
Patriots got their feelings hurt too, huh?
Yeah, I mean they had a big lead in that game. I mean, the other side of that is feels like Buffalo's starting to, you know, now that Kansas City's completely out of it. And look, the Ravens get there, all these teams are gonna be talking about this, right? I mean, and by the way, there are good teams in this conference. As I think we need to stop doing the, yes, we understand it's wide open from the standpoint of Kansas City's out of the picture now, and it's going to be someone different. And even the one
Denver,
team,
New England, Buffalo, they're good teams.
Denver's a good football team. I tell you, the team that people continue to sleep on, even though I don't think it's happening quite as much, Houston is a good football team. That defense is nasty. And I think CJ Stroud is playing a little bit better than people are giving him credit for right now. So now that said, are any of
Philip
the,
Rivers, baby.
oh my gosh.
How good was it? I mean, oh, that's an
I mean, he wasn't very
all-timer,
good,
dude.
but it was incredible. Like, first of all, he made it through the game, which I wasn't sure that was going to,
He's got
that
a
much was
dad
going to
bod for
happen.
sure, right?
Oh
Yeah, we
yeah, I
love
mean
that.
he's got to be 30 or 40 pounds heavier than he was 5 years ago. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But no, just to look around the conference, look, there's this wide open feeling because you know it's not going to be Kansas City. It's not even going to be Cincinnati, who was the one team that had done it in the midst of Kansas City's run. So it's going to be, the last time the
Fresh
AFC
blood, baby. Let's go.
last
Somebody,
time.
this is a, it's wide open for Josh Allen. It's wide open for Lamar, right?
Oh, but it's also wide open for all these other teams who are good, right? So,
Aaron
look,
Rodgers thinks it's wide open for him too.
sure, why not? I mean, I don't really feel that way about the Steelers. I don't feel that way about the Colts per se. I mean, as good as the Philip Rivers
You let me
story
know how
is,
you feel about the Steelers when you're driving up Somerset from here.
hey, it has, look, they're still there. That doesn't mean they're not going to win in the same way that. Two or three weeks ago, we were talking about the Ravens. They can win the division. That doesn't mean that I necessarily believe in them as a high-level Super Bowl contender. There's different levels to the playoffs. I mean,
So
there
what
definitely
about
is.
beating the Bengals in the way they did? I said right from the top, they won a cold weather game on the road. Now,
They beat a good
cold weather
quarterback.
game on the road is like it'll be a lot louder in Denver. It'll be a lot different in New England if they have to
Yeah.
go there and play.
And you also don't know if it's going to be that cold, right? I mean, that was pretty extreme. I mean, that was the
It's the
coldest
coldest
game in
game in the history
franchise
of the team.
history.
Yeah, and
Yeah. So there's one thing
and
if
they
it's
won it going
33
away
degrees.
and pitched a
Yeah.
shutout
Oh,
against a good quarterback.
it's a
And
that's the key for me. I mean, they beat a good quarterback. My goodness, if the offense couldn't break through playing this lousy Bengals defense a second time, then shame on them. They aren't then they are just a bad football team. So that was good to see. Like, but I'm not like wowed by that. I am more impressed by shutting out Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I mean, this was the first time Joe Burrow had been shut out since his 2018 season at LSU, which, by the way, was only like, it's funny, that was like 2.5 weeks after the Ravens last had a shutout against the Titans back
T.
in
Higgins not being
2018.
in was certainly
Oh yeah,
disruptive for them.
well, Yoshivas dropped that. Could have been a touchdown there. That Tinsley guy dropped one in the end
In
zone.
the end
That
zone,
would have been
yeah.
a nice play, but kind of play that. You expect T. Higgins to make, right? So, no question. But at the same time, T. Higgins didn't play on Thanksgiving, and that didn't stop the Bengals then. So, I was encouraged by what I saw from the defense. There's no question about that. I mean, that was a nice statement to kind of bounce back from the last couple of weeks. Which, and I know John Harbaugh said it in the post game that that the defense hadn't played that poorly the last couple of weeks, and I hear it to a point, but like. You can't sell me on the fact that they allowed 2 yards per carry against the Steelers when Aaron Rodgers threw the ball over their head four different times, right? And they completely blew an assignment on Jaylen Warren's touchdown. So they had some explaining to do, so to speak, of what had happened. I mean, all the talk about how good their defense had been over the 5-game winning streak, and then they stubbed their toe 2 weeks in a row playing at home. So it was good to see them bounce back. There's no question about that. Yeah, the Buchanan injury hurts. We'll see about Awuzie. I mean, Awuzie is not playing as much now, especially now with Ardarius Washington back in the picture for sub packages. I'm not sure Awuzie is going to play a ton, even if he is going to miss some time here.
And by the way, on Washington, you shocked that he got back on the field? It is late in the season, right? But
I mean, it
and
was mid-May. It was like the second week of May. I'm not shocked, but I'll reserve some judgment as far as how he's going to look. We've
right.
seen, I mean, obviously we all remember Terrell Suggs, right? I mean, but there have been other guys that have torn Achilles in the OTA time of year and then make it back towards the end of the season. So that's not unprecedented. I think the big question is how effective will he be and how much is he going to play, right? I mean, it's not like he was on the field a ton, but
someone like him makes sense to mix in some dime package, especially now with Buchanan out of the picture. Maybe it affords you some opportunities. You know, when you go nickel, that you can actually, it's a nickel, but it's kind of or more like a dime because Kyle Hamilton's playing, you know, more linebacker, and then you bring Ardarius Washington in as, you know, a slot option, or maybe he's playing some safety. Maybe you drop Malachi Starks closer to the line of scrimmage, or Alohi Gilman closer to the line of scrimmage. So
And
just
his bar, I mean,
gives you more
you know, he
options.
really helped his team last year
Oh, he was
on the
great
back
last year.
end. You know, getting that back would be huge. I don't know where, you know, what
Yeah.
the anticipation would be. I was kind of shocked to see him get cleared and listed. You and I hadn't talked much about him in regard to your point, getting him on the field and then him making an impact's a different thing. Look, they need all the help they can get. I mean, even
Sure.
you know, pitching the shutout wherever they're going to be, they're going to see a couple of pretty decent quarterbacks and decent offenses here.
And let's
And
face
you
it.
know, whatever they're going to be in January, I mean, they're going to need to win four games in a row to win a Super Bowl, and somewhere along the line, they need to win two out of the next three and beat Pittsburgh. You know, have that be one of them. And along the way, they did what they needed to do this week. So for that, you know, it was cold in Cincinnati. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, their season could have been very much on the brink, right? If you lose that game, and you know, regardless of what other teams are doing, you lose that game, you've lost three straight division games, and you're looking at your last three games and you're saying, like, how are we getting the arrow upward again? And that's why I said, I mean that, and that's what I worked on and wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, the idea that they got the arrow pointed in the right direction again. I mean, they're still a 7-7 football team, right? This team has flaws. I mean, to the point about going back to Ardarius Washington for a moment, I mean, the reality is for their defense, and I know their pass rush was more productive on Sunday, they've got to cover. I mean, they have to cover on the back end, and they've got to mix and match, and they have to disguise, and they've got to flip coverage, and you know, go from what you're showing pre-snap to post-snap. I mean, they've got to do those things. There's no doubt about it, because you do not have a Terrell Suggs lining up off the edge. You don't have a Nnamdi Madubuike lining up inside, right? I mean, not to say that they have nothing there, but it's a below average pass rush. We know that. 14 games into the season, I think that's more than fair to say that at this point in time. So you've got to cover. So if you can add Ardarius Washington to that picture in some shape or form, and again, I don't think it's going to be that he's not going to resume the role that he had last year. But I don't think first of all, I thought Alohi Gilman, you know, some of his, for as much as we talked about maybe his tackling kind of being the element of his game that leaves something to be desired, thought he tackled well. I thought they tackled so well in the flats. Because it's clear that they were trying to keep everything in front of them. And if you're going to do that, you've got to tackle. And I thought they did a really good job with that. Yeah, it helped that Cincinnati, a couple of their shots that they had, they didn't necessarily take advantage of. But I thought, you know, with so much of that underneath stuff, I just thought they handled that very well. But you've got to cover. I mean, you're just going to have to cover at a high level. And you know, we didn't see that so much against Pittsburgh last week, and obviously it kind of broke down in the third quarter of the first Bengals game, but we saw it for four quarters. Obviously, when you're talking about a shutout, so that was good to see, and they did it against a good quarterback, right? I mean, for as much as we can laugh about the Bengals and say, "Oh, they're the Bungles, they're 4-10, they're out of the playoffs," they made Joe Burrow look bad on Sunday, and okay. Maybe some of that was his receivers. Maybe some of that is him and Chase not being on the same page. Maybe some of that is how much time he's missed. And, you know, it's 10 degrees, and I don't know. Maybe his foot was bothering him for all we know. But they made Joe Burrow look really bad. And that's something they have not done against a high-level quarterback all year, right? I mean, best quarterback they had beaten to this point in the season had been Caleb Williams, I guess. You know, he's not elite. I mean, the Bears have been good, but he's not elite. And you know, I mean, whatever Tua is at this point in his career or in
Well, teams that can
this
make
season.
adjustments, quarterbacks that can
So,
get up to the line of scrimmage and get themselves out of bad plays and into good plays. And that's
but it felt
Aaron
like,
Rodgers.
yeah.
I don't know where Drake May's going to be on that or Jordan Love's going to be on that, sort of younger quarterbacks in a very general sense. I don't know. Lamar is that guy, although he's becoming that guy. And that was part of the Monken transition was to give him more of the keys to the offense, as they would always say. Keys to the offense means you get up to the line of scrimmage and you can diagnose what a defense is trying to do, and have two plays and get into the better play and make it work and make the other team pay for you having done enough homework to know what they're trying to do.
And I mean, I've said it a few minutes ago, but it bears repeating. I mean, the Bengals showed blitz, and John Harbaugh said in the post game, it was right in their game plan to get into that play where Lamar hits Rasheen Ali coming out of the backfield in the flat. No one covered him, and it's a touchdown, right? I mean, so that kudos to Lamar Jackson there, right? For all the talk about all the missed practice and how they haven't looked very good situationally. I mean, we've talked so much about the red zone. We talked about how horrendous that 2-minute drive was at the end of the game last week against Pittsburgh. But, they played a very clean game overall. Zay Flowers drop leading to the interception aside. Lamar threw high on that. Andrews got his hands on it, which probably saved an interception. It wasn't
And they
perfect,
dusted off when they
but.
made mistakes, though, too. That's what a
Yeah,
shutout is,
exactly.
right?
Well, and that's the thing. And to your point, when it's 10 degrees and the wind chill is below zero, you're probably not going to play a perfectly clean football game. But they were pretty close,
I
right?
give
I
it
mean,
high marks for what
yeah.
it could be on a cold day in
Well,
Denver,
and
or a cold day in New England, or even a cold night in Green Bay a week and a half. It'd be a cold night in Baltimore this week when they play the Patriots. And it was funny, you said on Sunday night, that game's been in my calendar at 1 o'clock for so long that I haven't looked at my calendar in a week to look at it to see that it moved
Yeah.
into the evening. But those two evening games coming up, they stand as sort of these, my week calendar, my Google calendar goes Sunday to Saturday. It's in the calendar both in 1 week. So you sense the crunch of Sunday night, Saturday night on the road in Green Bay, and Christmas in between. Just they've gotten themselves into the position they need to be in, despite all the warts, despite all the problems, despite the injuries, despite the turnovers, despite the lack of pass rush, despite the lack of protection for Lamar, despite Lamar's injuries, all that. They're in a position to play a home playoff game in a couple of weeks. To your point, your eyes lit up talking about their health and how good it's been, that they've been more healthy than other teams. We're going to see Micah Parsons now not on the field 2 weeks from now in Green Bay. That's a big, big, big difference to a team that has struggled with the Myles Garretts, has struggled with having one guy wreck you, and the number one game wrecker left on their calendar has exited. That's a big win for them. That gives them a chance. And winning these games here, I don't know what the combination's going to be. Lose this week, win in Green Bay, got to beat Pittsburgh, got to beat Pittsburgh. Oh, what's Pittsburgh going to do next week? We'll be watching all of that. But seeing them play good enough to win in January, that was an effort in Cincinnati. Now, again, against the team that, whatever they are, and certainly what their defense is. But that's what I need to see on the road on a cold day.
Well, it's a step in that direction. It's heartening. Like I said, I don't want to. It took me a long time to get to where I was in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh game. You know how down I was on this football team this past week, and they deserved it, quite frankly. So, one win over the Bengals doesn't mean all is forgiven, and I'm back to where I thought where they were week one going into Buffalo, right? But it's got the arrow pointed in the right direction again, compared to what happened these last couple of weeks. And yeah, if you go, not if you go, if you play Sunday night at home, win a primetime home game, which they haven't done this year, right? They're 0 for 2 in primetime home games, and you beat a team like the Patriots, who we're all trying to figure out just how great they are, right? They're good, but are they good like Tom Brady era good? And another dynasty is loading, with Drake May being a MVP candidate, or are they good but haven't really been tested? And if the Ravens can hand them another defeat, then everyone starts to doubt their viability in terms of like, are they a serious Super Bowl contender? And lo and behold, you're saying, okay, all right, Ravens, you're back over 500, you're in great position to play and win for the division title in week 18, and suddenly now you've got an eyeball test game, right? This game was better for the eyeball test, but it's still against a lesser opponent. But you go out and win Sunday night, and again, it doesn't have to be 24-0. You know, it can be 10-9, right? Especially if your defense is going to play the way it did on Sunday. If you win that game, then all right, then we're real. Then you're starting to, you're cooking then. You know, then you're starting to look like the kind of team that's rounding into shape and getting hot at the right time, right? So, you can't, and some of this has to do with this football team too. You've got to handle the success, right? They had a 5-game winning streak, and Cincinnati's coming in on a short week, Thursday night game on Thanksgiving, and not that anyone necessarily thought the Ravens were going to beat them by 5 touchdowns or anything like that, but everyone was picking the Ravens in that game, and we saw what happened, right? Now, did they get complacent? Did they overlook them? Were they too? Had they gotten overconfident with a 5-game winning streak? I don't know that, right? But the idea is you need to be able to handle success, right? It's easy to talk about, coming off of a loss and being motivated, but are you handling success? And, the last 2 weeks following a 5-game winning streak didn't really look like they had handled that too much, even though, like we said, it's not like it had been this dominating 5-game winning streak that maybe they had in previous years with Lamar. But, the idea that they dusted themselves off on Sunday and weathered, kind of a slow start offensively, and did what they did on the defensive side of the ball for 4 quarters. I mean, like I said, that was encouraging, right? And doesn't mean all is forgiven. I mean, they're still 7-7. They're still going to be playing, these next 2 weeks, playing teams that have better records than they do, right? I mean, that's not going to change even with.
To me, they're 0-0 if they're playing January 10th.
Sure.
Kind of, like I can't. I'm throwing the record out for them in a
Yeah,
general
but they have
sense
to get
because
there. But what I'm saying is they have to get there, though.
they have to accumulate enough wins.
Yeah,
Sure,
they have to get
right.
there. I mean, yeah, part of this also has to do with if they are going to get there, that means they've won more football games along the way. And presumably, unless it's just like looks like two bad teams playing, which week 18 might look that way, who knows? But otherwise, if you're in a position where you have to get there, then yeah, you've won and you've done the heavy lifting. In the same way we talked about this team when they were 1-5, and at the time, the idea was they're probably gonna have to win 9 of 11, right? Now, that might not prove to be the case if they end up getting in at 9-8, and you do the math of the next few weeks and whatever happens with Pittsburgh these next few weeks and the Ravens, maybe 9-8 does it, but. You know, they were always going to have to play to a certain level for you to really buy it, right? And I'm not sitting here losing my head over a 24-0 win over the Bengals, but it was a step up. There's no question about that. They got to win. They got to win on the road. They got to win in extreme cold, and they did it with their defense playing at a high level against a star quarterback, right? Regardless of Joe Burrow's story of his season. He's still Joe Burrow because we saw that a couple weeks ago, right? Beat him. So that was good to see. I'm just saying, go do it again. If you want us to start buying into it, go do it again. Go beat the Patriots Sunday night. If you do that, then yeah, then I can start talking in more specific terms of January and being a viable, not just getting in, but being a viable contender in what is, yes, a very wide open AFC with good teams, but not like that proven juggernaut with Kansas City obviously being officially done.
Well, this will give us a good chance to talk about Drake May and about Mike Vrabel and about Patriots 2.0 or whatever this reload is and the Green Bay Packers without Micah Parsons and 2 games in 6 days and bright lights and big TV audiences and Lamar getting healthier and maybe even the running game being able to run their way through January. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He is out on the interwebs. I am going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour twice this week. Once I get shoveled out of here, we will have candy cane scratch-offs to give away. They're going to smell really good. We're going to be at Costas on Thursday. My middle school music teacher, Mr. Calvin Statham, is going to be joined by Our friend, your friend and mine, my science teacher, Mr. George Shulin, who's going to pick up Calvin, and we're going to tell some old Dundalk stories. It's going to be a Dundalk hootenanny. We're going to be at Costas on Thursday. Gina Shock's coming over. John Allen's coming over. We're going to talk some rock and roll. We're going to sing some hits for Eddie Lauer. Gina and I called Ed Lauer last week and shocked him. Perfect. And Gina's also had open heart surgery when she was a younger woman, and talking about that. So we're gonna have a lot of heart. It's gonna be a heartening kind of week here, and then we're gonna be Friday in the aorta of all the arts at Gertrude's on Friday. Dan Rodericks is gonna join us. I've got Casper Wells, former Major League Baseball player, joining me on Friday at Gertrude's as well. It's going to be a great week. It's already a great week. Johnny O's stopping by this week. Dan Shaughnessy's coming by this week. Mark Leibovich, who wrote my favorite NFL book, Big Game. Yeah, must be a Patriot fan. So he's going to be coming on this week as well. He covers the Trump administration down in Washington for the New York Times. So great week here. We had a great week of crab cakes last week from Di Pasquale's and Fadley's. And then on Friday, I went to this really funky place in Halethorpe called Honey's, and Sue Me made me these delicious. It was like shrimpy toast, but it was crab toast, and it made me think of the coach, Charlie Ekman. So the holidays have been good so far. We're having a, you know, Trent Dilfer and I held the Super Bowl 35 trophy up to start the month. The Ravens are back in this. I'm having a hell of a month. It's WNST AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive holidays, the Christmas time, and the Festivus for the rest of us ahead, we hope.